I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
All right. Happy Thursday, everybody. Weekend's almost here. I cannot wait. I'm going off to the desert. That's right. I was talking about this last night. Dr. Dean does a little self-care. I'm going to leave my phone behind. Got a great show planned for you tonight. We got a question of the night up on our Loveline IG page. And then me and a fan will be going battle to battle, head to head in our game Tool or Toy. If you want to battle me in a game, slide into our DMs on Loveline and let our producers know you want to battle Dr. D on air and you'll win a Channel Q prize package. Anyway, we're going to open show tonight talking to actress and activist Jocelyn DeFreeze, who also stars in Strange Angel on CBS All Access. What's going on, Jocelyn?
Hey, how are you?
Oh my God, it warms my heart to hear you.
Yes, it's so wonderful to hear you. I was so excited to get having you guys reach out to chat this week because there's so much amazing stuff that we're actually having to deal with currently, and it all needs to be talked about. So
yeah, and before we get into it, I just want to say congratulations on your show. For those that aren't familiar, CBS All Access. And P.S., CBS All Access is kind of killing it. They're like ahead of the game with the amazing programming that they're putting out there. I'm a big fan of everything on that.
Yeah, they really do. They're like all different types of content, different shows. They have new show on Picard, which is like, you know, ramped up viewing. It's lots of cool different stuff going on. So
let's get into some heavy stuff. It breaks my heart that we even have to keep talking about these things. So there's two things I wanted to talk to you about. They're both really interconnected. But the first one is basically the hashtag We Are Here. Can you kind of explain to our listeners what that's about and why that's important?
Well, you know, right now, the hashtag We Are Here, it's been, you know, my close girlfriends have all been kind of pushing it. And along with Sandra Jennings, have been pushing this out because, you know, the Title VII that the Supreme Court is ruling on to make it legal to, well, the Trump administration would like to make it legal to fire people based upon being LGBTQ. And so, you know, pushing out this hashtag of We Are Here is like really showing the world and the community that we are here. We need to be seen. We need to be remembered. Many people don't even know this is going on right now. And so it's like, you know, to show the visibility, you know, it's terrifying. You know, you go through and you look and you see what the Trump administration, you know, all the, you know, Republicans that, you know, I have Republicans in my life that are completely just unaware of the way that the Trump administration is trying to turn things around, that, you know, during Obama era politics, things had advanced so much. And, you know, so hashtag We Are Here is really just like putting out the visibility, having people see that, you know, whether it's
that we're not all on board with this crap, right? Like
absolutely.
And what also scares me is weighing on this as well. I always get afraid around things like this as well, is that it could lead, if it passes, that it could lead to like a witch hunt. Because what is it? What do you have to do to be quote unquote gay or trans or queer, whatever it is, to get fired? Like, what could fall under that? Can you just read as gay or trans? I mean, do you have to be openly out to get fired? Like, I get nervous about what falls under a fireable offense under this.
And you know, like honestly, Chris, I think beyond in like you're raising it, but okay, it becomes a witch hunt. But also, what happens is like the really frightening thing is that this is being debated right now.
Oh, yeah.
So that, you know, it's like, okay, beyond whether or not this is going to be, you know, that Amy Stevens, the person that was fired for transitioning on her job, you know, whether or not that, that there are people right now that are like, oh no, this is valid. This is,
yeah, that people's lives are still not worth.
That's a valid reason.
Ugh. It really gets me going.
When there's, you know, trans women of color dying all the time, like constantly, and that people don't want to recognize it or talk about it or say, oh, you know what, that things are so much better because we have these trans celebrities. Or, you know, I mean, yes, we have come so far, but it is the fact that this is a discussion and the violence that still is happening is, it's really terrifying.
It is. It really is, because I'm always horrified at the idea of anyone or anything, any law and anything possibly questioning the human rights of an individual based on anything, right? Like, everyone should have protections.
Absolutely.
And then we're going to be talking tomorrow night about how South Dakota lawmakers are voting on whether or not they can send doctors to jail for helping trans kids in their transitions.
Yes.
Like,
absolutely.
What?
Yeah, it's insane. It is insane because the message that puts out is that it's erasing people's identities. It's saying, you know what, we don't think this is valid. We think, in, you know, that the Trump administration is supporting that. Okay, so because of your religious beliefs, you can kick a kid out of school because of this. You can, and these things are happening. I know people that this is happening to in Omaha, Nebraska, a young trans girl who was kicked out of her Catholic school for being trans. You know, it's like, okay, because that's your religion, but it's like, what kind of message does that send that even can happen in the United States?
All right, tonight we're talking with actress and activist Jocelyn DeFreeze, and we're talking about, these heinous things that are happening in the Trump administration, also South Dakota lawmakers voting on basically the worth of people's lives. So what advice would you give to someone that's at home and they themselves fall under the LGBTQIA umbrella, or even allies, and they want to do something about this? Should they be tracking the We Are Here hashtag? Should they be calling lawmakers? I mean, what do you recommend to people?
Yes, calling lawmakers. I mean, because the hashtag We Are Here, making a video and posting We Are Here, showing your visibility of support, you know, because you don't have to be LGBTQ to be in support of fighting this.
Or even to be impacted. This is people's loved ones, people's partners, people's children, people's colleagues. Yeah. Like, it's huge.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Contacting lawmakers, reaching out, showing visibility and talking about it, getting the conversation started with someone who may not know. It's like, I think I had this discussion earlier today with a colleague that we were talking about. One of the most important things right now is that the conversation is happening.
Yeah. There's so much work to do. So I'm thankful for people like you that are out there on the front lines fighting. Where can people find you?
Jocelyn.DeFreeze is my Instagram's the thing I stay closest to. I'm terrible at Twitter, and but I have a website.
Bless.
You can check it out. Watch Strange Angel on CBS All Access. I have a new project that I'm developing right now, which I'm super excited about.
Come back on and talk about
this. Yeah, the crazy similarities between what's happening now and with the political state of affairs and Nazi Germany and the comparisons.
Bam.
So I'm really excited to this new film I co-wrote, actually, but we just got it sent over to some producers and, you know, things are cracking with that. So I'm excited. I would love to come back and talk about that.
So proud of you. And we'll catch up real soon. Have an awesome night.
Yeah. Thank you for having me on. And yeah, it's great to hear you.
Bye-bye. Coming up next, we're going to be doing a little couples therapy. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on channel Q.
All right, we're back and we're doing couples therapy. So, of course, we've got licensed therapist Rebecca Ishida with us. And we're talking about breakups, which is a really heavy topic. But let's talk more about, what about online dating, going back online?
You know, I think that nowadays, too, because there's so much there for us when we talk about online dating, and it's like, oh, you can just move on to something new, or, you know, oh, swipe. And then, you know, I think that sometimes relationships end up feeling a little more disposable now than maybe they were in the past. I don't know necessarily.
Well, it was harder in the past.
Yeah,
you had to meet people, go out of the house.
Yeah.
you had to walk up to someone or they had to walk up to you. There's a lot more to courtship, right? Now, in your sweatpants, eating ice cream, laying on the couch watching television, you can be talking to 30 people if you want. Right. So, yeah, it's definitely changed. I mean, I think back, I had to literally get dressed, wash my face, take a shower, leave the house, go to a bar or right, restaurant or something, right. Able to be, what's the word I want to say? Like, for someone to get my attention, I have to be open to my attention being gotten, right? So I'm hanging out with my friends or whatever, but I also have to be kind of like looking around a little bit so someone can snag my eye, and then you kind of do the eye thing and someone goes over to someone. Like, it was such a process. You can only do that once in a night. Like, you can only hit on so many people around the world in a night. But online, I got 35 people I could be talking to, right? So, yeah, I think there's a sense of like, it's fine. There's something else coming. But I think that really devalues true compatibility and chemistry, because I don't think that is as available as we tend to think it is.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay, cool. You know, one of the things I do in my office sometimes is I also script some of the thought processes for them, because some people will always say to me, well, how do I do without hurting them? And I'm like,
Not possible.
You're going to hurt them.
Right.
There's no magic statement where they're like, I feel so great about this. You know what I mean? Like, you're letting people down and you do it anyway, if that's what you need to do.
Right. And, you know, and even if it is mutual, I think it can be painful. The ending of a relationship and the grief that you go through. When my marriage ended, I still felt a lot of grief, even though it really was the best decision.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember sometimes coming home before we split, and I'd see him sitting in a chair. He was physically present. I couldn't stand him,
that's
but
difficult.
Just the fact that he was physically there made me feel better in some weird way. So we get used to people, too.
Because it's familiarity.
Familiarity.
Even though it's over and you might not be in love with him anymore or angry, familiarity still exists in that field.
Right.
Yeah, because that's part of, that's heavy. I mean, we had on last night this gentleman who was widowed out of the blue and now is part of this camp for widows, because all of a sudden that absence we were talking about is so heavy, where all of a sudden you go from someone always being in your bed every night and coming home at a certain time to no one's coming home. You're going to bed alone. The home is now all of a sudden silent. And he was saying, as a widow, it's hard for other people to understand that experience of absence, but absence where it's ripped out of your life because you weren't part of the breakup. It wasn't a breakup. This person died
out
of the blue.
Yes.
And the trauma of that. And so that absence piece has been so with me since last night.
Right. And I think that, you know, it was my mom is a widow. And so she, you know, really experienced that kind of loss and grief. And it was really hard to get through, especially because the relationship was a wonderful one. So that was... it's really been painful for her.
You know? Tonight we're talking with Rebecca Sheet, a licensed therapist, about essentially it's breakups.
Yeah.
It's such a heavy topic because I think everyone has some kind of connection to the story, and it usually does not generate positive feelings.
Correct.
Like, when you ask people about their breakup stories, it tends to not put a smile on their face. It tends to be stories of disappointment and frustration. I'm trying to rack my brain and think of individuals where I had a breakup and I thought, wow, this is the most beautiful, powerful way to do it. Most of the ones that I was involved in, when they weren't under my control, were not pleasant. Ones that were under my control, you know, again, I haven't broken up with someone in a while. It was a difficult thing. Because you're like, I personally wanted to be loving and present. But I also knew I was letting this person down. I wanted to give them whatever space they needed to maybe be angry or frustrated. And they don't always want you around and to be part of that piece.
And the hard part, too, I think, with breakups, too, is by the time you get to a breakup, if it's not a premature one, you're already in a place of high conflict. So to give somebody a beautiful breakup or one that sort of allows for space and so forth is difficult because you maybe are not in a good place with them.
Yeah.
So it's hard to do that sometimes. You know, without it being like mean-spirited or crappy or whatever. Yeah.
So before we go, in closing, are you of the mind that when someone goes through a breakup, they should take space before dating again, or it's okay to get right back out there?
Well, I think it depends on the length of the relationship too, but I have become over time more a fan of taking space. Whereas before I was like, I didn't want to feel the feelings of pain and grief. And, you know, that saying, you know, how to get over someone is to get under someone. You know, I thought, okay, yes, you know, but I remember before I was in my last relationship, and it was when I first slept with him, I was crying over someone else.
Wow.
And I said, I'm just going to go have sex with this guy, and I'll feel better.
And you're like, I do not feel better. You're like, I am crying as this is happening. This is not healing anything.
Oh. So,
where can people find you, Rebecca Ishida?
On Instagram at HungryBecca and RebeccaIshida.com.
Beautiful. Coming up next, we're going to be sliding into those DMs. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on channel Q.
All right, we're back and we're doing couples therapy. So, of course, we've got licensed therapist Rebecca Ishida with us, and we're talking about breakups, which is a really heavy topic. But let's talk more about what about online dating, going back online?
You know, I think that nowadays, too, because there's so much there for us when we talk about online dating, and it's like, oh, you can just move on to something new, or, you know, oh, swipe. And then, you know, I think that sometimes relationships end up feeling a little more disposable now than maybe they were in the past. I don't know necessarily.
Well, it was harder in the past.
Yeah,
you had
to meet people.
Go out of the house. Yeah. You had to walk up to someone, or they'd walk up to you. There's a lot more to courtship, right? Now, in your sweatpants, eating ice cream, laying on the couch watching television, you can be talking to 30 people if you want.
Right.
So, yeah, it's definitely changed. I mean, I think back, I had to literally get dressed, wash my face, take a shower, leave the house, go to a bar or restaurant or something, able to be, what's the word I want to say? Like, for someone to get my attention, I have to be open to my attention being gotten, right? So I'm hanging out with my friends or whatever, but I also have to be kind of like looking around a little bit so someone can snag my eye, and then you kind of do the eye thing and someone goes over to someone. Like, it was such a process. You could only do that once in a night. Like, you can only hit on so many people around the world in a night. But online, I got 35 people I could be talking to, right? So, yeah, I think there's a sense of like, it's fine, there's something else coming. But I think that really devalues true compatibility and chemistry, because I don't think that is as available as we tend to think it is.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay, cool. You know, one of the things I do in my office sometimes is I also script some of the thought processes for them, because some people will always say to me, well, how do I do without hurting them? And I'm like,
Not possible.
You're going to hurt them.
Right.
There's no magic statement where they're like, I feel so great about this. You know what I mean? Like, you're letting people down, and you do it anyway, if that's what you need to do.
Right. And, you know, and even if it is mutual, I think it can be painful. The ending of a relationship and the grief that you go through. When my marriage ended, I still felt a lot of grief, even though it really was the best decision.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember sometimes coming home before we split, and I'd see him sitting in a chair. He was physically present. I couldn't stand him.
That's
but
difficult.
Just the fact that he was physically there made me feel better in some weird way. So we get used to people, too.
Because it's familiarity.
Familiarity.
Even though it's over and you might not be in love with him anymore or angry, familiarity still exists in that field.
Right.
Yeah, because that's part of it. Yeah, that's heavy. I mean, we had on last night this gentleman who was widowed out of the blue and now is part of this camp for widows, because all of a sudden that absence we were talking about is so heavy, where all of a sudden you go from someone always being in your bed every night and coming home at a certain time to no one's coming home. You're going to bed alone. The home is now all of a sudden silent. And he was saying, as a widow, it's hard for other people to understand that experience of absence, but absence where it's ripped out of your life because you weren't part of the breakup. It wasn't a breakup. This person died
out
of the blue.
Yes.
And the trauma of that. And so that absence piece has been so with me since last night.
Right. And I think that, you know, it was my mom is a widow. And so she, you know, really experienced that kind of loss and grief. And it was really hard to get through, especially because the relationship was a wonderful one. So that was... it's really been painful for her.
Tonight we're talking with Rebecca Ishida, licensed therapist, about essentially it's breakups.
Yeah.
It's such a heavy topic because I think everyone has some kind of connection to the story, and it usually does not generate positive feelings.
Correct.
Like, when you ask people about their breakup stories, it tends to not put a smile on their face. It tends to be stories of disappointment and frustration. I'm trying to rack my brain and think of individuals where I had a breakup and I thought, wow, this is the most beautiful, powerful way to do it. Most of the ones that I was involved in, when they weren't under my control, were not pleasant. Ones that were under my control, you know, again, I haven't broken up with someone in a while. It was a difficult thing. Because you're like, I personally wanted to be loving and present. But I also know I was letting this person down. I wanted to give them whatever space they needed to maybe be angry or frustrated. And they don't always want you around and to be part of that piece.
And the hard part, too, I think, with breakups, too, is by the time you get to a breakup, if it's not a premature one, you're already in a place of high conflict. So to give somebody a beautiful breakup or one that sort of allows for space and so forth is difficult because you maybe are not in a good place with them.
Yeah.
So it's hard to do that sometimes, you know, without it being like mean-spirited or crappy or whatever. Yeah.
So before we go, in closing, are you of the mind that when someone goes through a breakup, they should take space before dating again, or it's okay to get right back out there?
Well, I think it depends on the length of the relationship too, okay. But I have become over time more a fan of taking space. Whereas before I was like, I didn't want to feel the feelings of pain and grief. And you know, that saying, you know, how to get over someone is to get under someone. You know, I thought, okay, yes, you know, but I remember before I was in my last relationship, and it was when I first slept with him, I was crying over someone else.
Wow.
And I said, I'm just going to go have sex with this guy, yeah, and I'll feel better.
And you're like, I do not feel better. You're like, I am crying as this is happening. This is not healing anything.
So,
where can people find you, Rebecca Ishida?
On Instagram at HungryBecca and RebeccaIshida.com.
Beautiful. Coming up next, we're going to be sliding into those DMs. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on channel Q.
All right, we're back. Question of the night. It's up on our Loveline IG page. So bust down on that page. Give us your answers. We'll be breaking that on down later in the show, as well as playing Is It a Tool or Is It a Sex Toy? That's where I go head to head with a Loveline listener and you win it. Channel Q prize package. Right now, though, it's time for some DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sex world. We want you to explore with confidence. Here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris. I've lately been hearing people using the term emotional regulation to refer to people not showing too much emotion or reducing emotions. I'm curious about how you define emotional regulation. Also, do you think people need to reduce emotion or be less emotional? It's interesting the way you phrase it. I don't actually tend to hear it used in reference to people showing less emotion. Emotional regulation is about people being in control of themselves. And you can be very much, quote unquote, regulated in control of yourself and still very expressive. So it's not attempting to shame emotionality. It's basically trying to point out that some people might get a little overly attached to their emotional experience, and that means they're not necessarily grounded in their rationality. I guess it can be used in a very shaming way. But how do I define it? You know, emotional regulation is somewhat of a nuance, and it's basically someone where their emotional functioning is kind of right-sized in relationship to what might be happening, right? So some people might tend to be overly upset, or they might tend to be overly angry. And it's really hard, though, to contextualize what an appropriate response is. And so it's kind of a personal journey of, do I feel overwhelmed myself by how I relate and exhibit emotions? And if so, then the person would say to themselves, I really want to work on kind of soothing myself a little bit, or kind of digesting some of how I'm feeling before I relate to another person, because emotional health is when you're not flooding other people. So that's probably a component of this as well. If every time you're having an emotional experience, the people around you feel very overwhelmed and flooded, well, that's not really pro-relationship or pro-relational. And, you know, again, when we're communicating to others how we feel or what we think about something, we want to do it in a way where they feel safe, staying connected and in conversation with us. And if the way we're expressing ourselves is not allowing them to feel engaged and connected, well, then we're not really in relationship anymore. And we're not really stepping into communication anymore. We're kind of just having an emotional flood. And so it's really kind of about the ability to have others stay connected to us while we're expressing ourselves. Also, do you think people need to reduce emotional expression and be less emotional? I don't really know. I don't really think about emotions in that way, about do we need less or do we need more. I'm a relationalist. And so again, I always think the frame is really, is the way you express yourself and express emotions, keeping those that are important to you feeling comfortable and able to stay in the process and the conversation with you. So it's really more about that to me than if it's less or more. Anyway, there you go. Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sex world. We want to explore with confidence. Coming up next, Ron Robbins, TV and pop culture critic, is going to be joining us to give us a little bit of an update on what's going on in pop culture around the LGBTQIA representation, as well as some sex positivity. Listen to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. We got our question of the night up on our Loveline IG page, so weigh in on that. But right now, we've got Mr. Ron Robbins, TV and pop culture writer and critic, joining us. What's going on, Ron?
Hi, how are you?
Somehow I was expecting a more enthusiastic response, but thank you for being
on
the show.
You got to loosen me up a little.
Yeah, we got to loosen you up. You were on the show last year. You haven't been back in a while. Is it that you're too cool for school for Loveline or just real busy?
Waiting on that invitation.
Oh, it's an invitation based only. So, you know, we always have you on the show because you're really good at giving us a round of us of what's going on in terms of like LGBTQIA and queer television and pop culture. So what's going on?
There's just really two shows I wanted to sort of bring to your attention. Sex Education Season 2.
I haven't seen any of that, but I've heard good things.
I promise you would be amazed and impressed and proud.
Is it a comic? Is it comedy? Is it comedy?
Yeah, it's like an hour episode, 40 okay. minutes maybe each episode. And it's like essentially a cross between a charming like high school show where the kids are like, you know, unrequited love and the jock being paired up with the nerdy tutor and maybe falling in love and rejecting his parents' wishes
for
him.
So all the archetypes, stereotypes.
All of that mixed with a lot of sex education, because essentially the main character's mom is a clinical sex therapist.
Oh, I know.
And he basically absorbs a lot of this
this
knowledge, fully having issues of his own, but absorbs all this knowledge and helps kids in his school.
That would be my child. They'd be like, it's not a vagina, it's a vulva.
But they, right? So basically like in the first season and then season two is the repercussions. He starts like an underground sex clinic for the students at the school.
Oh, wow.
And they touch on so much and it's wild. Like I jotted it down, bisexuality, pansexuality, asexuality, anal douching, even mutual masturbation between two girls when one reveals to the other that she has vaginismus.
Wow.
And likens her vagina to a Venus flytrap.
Wow.
And even shows her girlfriend or partner this like kit of five different sized dilators or spacers. I don't know what you'd call them.
It's so interesting because like when I was a kid, I wish things like this existed. I feel like it's happening fast and furious. It feels like such a juggernaut where there's just more queer sex positive stuff happening fast. Yes? Like
100%. And I think like this show is really tuned into the fact that all of the sexual hangups, if that's what you'd want to call them, or differences or whatever, however you may want to phrase it, they really begin at the dawn of your sexuality and your sexual awakening. And, you know, high school is when kids start exploring.
Which is why it's always frustrating me when they talk about like keeping sex outside the classroom. It's like sex is so present in the classroom because people are having going through puberty and they're dating and they're having sex. And so I like that they're kind of acknowledging the eroticism of those times.
Yeah, it's awesome. And they also include stories between adults or the teachers or the parents to really illustrate that, you know, what can happen after, you know, years of not getting therapized or whatever the case may be. So it's a really interesting show. I think that you would love it.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I'll check it out.
And then there's a new show on Freeform called Everything's Gonna Be Okay, which I don't know if you've recently discussed neurodiversity. But there's...
Stop!
This show is wild. It's essentially a gay 20-something, neurotic, like, kind of nerdy, but cute nerdy. Like, he's... What's a specialist? Bug specialist?
Oh, I know you're talking... I can't think of the term.
That's, like, his field. Anyway, he comes to the States to visit with his dad and his half-siblings. And you come to find out that the dad summoned him there because he has terminal cancer and is basically assigning his son
so
to take care of the family.
Wow, that's heavy.
And the older, it's two teenage daughters, and the older one is on the spectrum.
Oh.
And it's just like a new normal type of situation. the boy meets another boy in the first episode, and so he sticks around, and it's basically like two gay boys that are just starting a relationship rearing two teenage girls. It's adorable.
I love this because television and pop culture are such powerful socializers, and they have the power to normalize things, right?
Yeah.
And it sounds like they're doing it heavily.
Otherwise. And I don't know what news outlets you resort to on a daily basis, but Teen People just wrote, like, yesterday perhaps, wrote up an article, an interview with the actress who plays Matilda, who is the sister with autism, and she has autism herself, and was welcomed into the writer's room to share her life experiences, are weaved into the story. And it's just like, it's
told by people themselves versus a bunch of neurotypical writers trying to understand being neuroatypical. Yeah. I like that. I appreciate that. So tonight we're talking with Ron Robbins, a TV and pop culture writer, about what's going on. So in pop culture and television, so Sex Ed, and that show's called what?
It's Everything's Gonna Be Okay.
Everything's Gonna Be Okay. So are there any networks that are crushing it above others? But because the way you're talking about it, it sounds like it's pretty diversified. Like everyone's kind of getting in on this.
Yeah, I mean, I've spoken about the CW their superhero shows powerful before, and they just keep coming with the new characters, whether it's the first transsexual or transgendered superhero, or the first black lesbian superhero, or they released Batwoman, and that is the first show with a lesbian hero lead. So it's the new normal.
God, I wonder what it would have been like had we been children when all this was happening. Yeah. That's so stunningly powerful. Ron Robbins, you definitely have to come back and keep us up to date, because this is a part of the world that I know nothing about. But it's powerful, powerful, powerful stuff. Where can people find you?
Literally still on my couch. It's a different couch, different apartment, but still there.
I mean, so if nothing else, you're consistent.
If nothing else, I'm consistent. But yeah, and you can find me here whenever you ask me back.
Did you ever drink them White Claws?
I love them White Claws.
All right, cool. Coming up next, we're going to be doing a little game night. Yes, we have a Loveline fan that's going to be playing Dr. D in Is It a Toy or Is It a Tool? Oh, it's a good one. And question night's up on our Loveline IG page. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. We got the question of the night. It's up on our Loveline IG page, so weigh in on that. But now it is time for a little game night. We're going to be playing Is It a Power Tool or Is It a Sex Toy? We got Nick from Minneapolis on the phone. Nick, what's up?
How are you doing tonight, Dr. Chris?
Oh, man, it's so good to see you. Well, actually, I'm not seeing you. It's so good to hear you.
Hey, good to see you, too.
So, rules of the game. Basically, producer Jeffrey is going to read us a review, and we are going to battle as to whether or not the review is a power tool review or a sex toy review. Got it?
Oh, great. I'm ready.
All right, man. So, I'm going to go first because, you know, it's my show.
Absolutely. Okay, we'll take your opinion first.
I'm that kind of guest. People come over to my house, and I'm like, it's still my house.
It's my house. I go this.
Okay, so, Jeffrey, what do you got first? Let's hear.
Here we go. All right. Now it's official.
70s.
All right.
All right.
Wow. This little guy has some pull, almost too much, maybe too much for some need. When trying to slip into tight places, this is exactly what you need. If you know what I mean, I had a less powerful version of this, and it too worked fine, except that one day I was in a hurry and pulled too hard, which pulled the extension apart and ruined it. So be careful when extending the wand, not too fast or hard. So Chris, is this a power tool or a sex toy?
Yo, that's a sex toy.
You know what, Dr. Chris, I'm going to have to combat you here. I think that that's a power tool.
You say power tool, I say sex toy. All right, what is it, Jeffrey?
So it is actually a power tool.
Oh, my God.
Come on, Nick.
All right.
It got a little too detailed there.
Yeah, it really did. That was like the world's longest review that made no sense. Okay.
All right, Nick, this is for you. This big bad boy is the ultimate pleaser. I'm so glad I bought myself this monster. Now, I must admit that it is too heavy for me to use like I do with my smaller products. I fully charged the battery with the charger provided, and I've not had to recharge it yet. It was always ready to go. So, Nick, is this a power tool or a sex toy?
Okay, this one I'm going to have to say sex toy on.
Wait, hold on. I'm going to say I'm going to say power tool. I'm going to say the opposite.
You're
going to
say, okay,
truly.
Well, it is a power tool.
All right.
It is a power tool.
So that's one point
me. I didn't know which tool this was.
Yes, yeah. 1 point each right now.
Wait, turn that bed down. I can't hear that well. Okay. All right, much better. Okay, so Nick, right now we're tying, which means I have to get hyper-aggressive because I don't like losing on things like this. In fact, I have been known at house parties when we play games to cheat. But promise you, you can't see me right now. I swear I'm not cheating.
Yeah, he doesn't have it in front of him. I have it.
It's trust. All right.
All right, so Chris, this next one's for you. All right, I recently received this and was super excited to try it out. When I got it in the mail and took it out, boy, was it huge and heavy. It takes about 3 hours to fully charge.
Oh, shoot.
And this is definitely not...
I got 3 hours.
This is definitely not for beginners, and you may need some prep and education. The only reason why I gave it 4 stars instead of 5 is because the strength is not as high as I thought.
Sex toy. I'm going sex toy. Nick, what do you think?
Honestly, I'm going to have to say sex toy too on that one.
All right. So both of you are right.
I can't hear that. Okay. We're both right. So it's 2-2.
Yes. Right now it's 2-2.
I'm tying up.
Yep. Okay, so the next one, Nick, this is for you. Every woman needs one of these, and men will appreciate them too. This is a compact, lightweight, cordless, and a charger is included. This is a great gift too. I began giving this as gifts to young women and men because everyone needs one. So, Nick, is this a power tool or a sex toy?
That one I'm going to have to say power tool on.
Yeah, I'm going to say that too. You know why? When they say everyone needs one, I just felt like if it was me saying that, we'd all know what that meant. But I'm going to go with power tool too.
All right, so both of you are right.
Oh, man, we're still tied.
All right, so this is...
Oh, dang.
This is the game. This is it. So,
all right, because Nick, you're playing for a Channel Q prize package, and we stuff a whole bunch of wild stuff in there, including like a CBD lube. I mean, it's all in there. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Are y'all ready?
I couldn't be more excited.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Okay, all right. This is the last one. Come on, we got this. All right, so I've discovered lately that a big price tag doesn't always mean a better product necessarily. Most quality under these systems are double, if not triple, the price of this one. So to say I was skeptic is an understatement. And while this is set, likely wouldn't meet the expectations of a more experienced person. It is a great beginner set, and it has the ability to be upgraded with some simple adjustments.
Okay, I stopped listening. Sorry, that was like a horrible review when I zoned out. I was like thinking about my dinner later tonight. So I'm just gonna like guess and say that was a power tool. Nick, what do you think?
Honestly, I'm going to have to go with sex toy on that one.
So, Chris, you are...
Oh!
So, Nick, you won!
No!
Hey, sorry about that one, Dr. Chris.
Man, you know what, though? In all fairness to me, that was hard. This one was hard.
Well,
that one was the most ambiguous, I'd have to say.
Yeah, I mean, other versions of the game, it was a little clear, but this one I was like, I have no idea what's going on. I'm also like hyper hungry, and so my mind is wandering. All right, Nick. So you're going to stay on the line, and we're going to get your address, and we're going to send you a prize package. Thank you for playing with me tonight, man. It was good talking with you on IG as well.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for playing. Have a great
really
night.
Really appreciate it.
All right,
you
be well.
Too.
Bye. Coming up next, question of the night. It's on our Loveline IG page, and then we'll be sliding into those DMs. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back, and now it's time for question of the night. But before we drop into that bad boy, I want to talk to you about something. Alcohol-related deaths, they've doubled. So when I pull studies like this, I always want to kind of bring this to everyone's attention. It's kind of heartbreaking, right? Because I think the way we center our culture around alcohol is part of what perpetuates and strengthens that. And that's really highlighted for me clinically when I'm working with individuals that are newly sober, getting sober, and I watch how hard it is because no matter what it is, alcohol's typically and often kind of folded in. But doubled? That breaks my heart. Researchers estimate deaths from alcohol-related problems have more than doubled. They're actually saying, wow, I even read that wrong, more than doubled. So, you know, we have a DM later that's kind of tied into this a little bit. So I think it's really important for us to always be assessing our role and relationship with alcohol. And one of the, you know, little frameworks that I often provide to people, and we talked about this, I think, with Dr. D. Jaffe as well, is that alcohol amplifies whatever mood you're in. So if you're having a rough day and you're feeling kind of sad or depressed or frustrated, alcohol most likely will just amplify that, and it'll push you further into that in a more dramatic, aggressive way, where if you're feeling good and positive and happy, alcohol has the capacity to amplify that. So when people say, hey, I don't have alcohol problem to the extent where I feel like I need to remove it from my life, but I want to look at my relationship to it, I usually say to them, assess your mood. And if you're feeling a positive mood, then you can use it celebratorily. But if you're feeling kind of down or low or bad, pass on the alcohol. Don't do it. Go find something else to do. So we'll talk about that more when we come up next with the DMs. But question of the night. Tonight's question was, how do you handle a lover who is jealous or insecure about girlfriends? I'm not even 100% sure I understand the question. So we'll see what y'all said. Maybe that'll highlight it for me. Someone said, I don't. Peace. So does that mean the insecure lover you get rid of? I guess that's what you mean. Okay, someone said, I tell them to get over it. It's a huge turnoff and I'll dump your ass. Oh my God. Wow, we got strong feelings about this. All right, so apparently we are not fans of people who are jealous or insecure of our girlfriends. I don't know what that means, though. Does that mean friends, or I don't know what that means. What do you mean by our girlfriends?
Like our friends, yeah.
Friends that are girls? Mm-hmm. So this is for someone who's, what gender are we talking about? I don't know. Y'all, it all made sense to y'all because you answered, so I'm going to go with it. Someone said, dump them sooner than later. I'm thinking this means, yes, people that are insecure about others in our lives. Look, in a healthy relationship, it means you're with someone you trust. And if you are dating or married to someone you trust, they can be friends with whomever, because they will hold boundaries and will act from a place of care and compassion. And so I do agree that if you're dating someone who's always threatened by the people in your life and insecure, that falls under emotional abuse, where you are living from a place of integrity, but yet they're constantly making you responsible for their anxiety about the people in your life. And you want to kind of hand that back to them, but if they can't manage it, yeah, that can feel quite abusive. Someone else said, invite them along so they can fall in love with them too. Aww, I actually like that. Although I am one of those people where I don't necessarily feel like all relationships have to be collapsed. And so I often compartmentalize them. I can date someone for a long period of time and they've never met my friends because I like deep intimacy. And so I tend to want to hang out with people on a one-on-one basis. So when I hang out with my best friends, it's alone. I don't tend to run with a group of people. I want one-on-one time with all the important people in my life. So if I'm dating someone, we do dates and we're together, we're doing our thing. And if I want to see a friend, I go see the friend. So like anyone in my life is usually comfortable with the idea that I have everything kind of boundaried out. And it's not shadiness. It's that I want it to be all about me. Let's just go with that. All right. Question of the night, which makes no sense to my brain, but it has something to do with how do you handle insecure, jealous people. I don't get the end part of it all. But someone said, always include them and tell them everything. Be open. Include. Don't exclude. I like that. Include. Don't exclude. Yeah, you know, I get where you're going with that. And if you're willing to do that, do that. For me, to always include feels not honest to how I socialize, and tell them everything. Somewhat. I'm all about boundaries and some privacy. I don't feel like anyone has a right to understand everything that's going on in my mind. That's actually not even possible. But I like where you're going with that. Include, don't exclude. And someone said, jealousy and insecurity is rooted in a lack of trust. Jealousy has no place in loving relationships. Bye. Y'all are so funny. It's so hard-lined. I do agree with what you're saying, though. Jealousy and insecurity are rooted in a lack of trust. So work on the trust. And if you can't, you have no relationship. And if you do and you have, then the trust is there. Let everyone go do what they do. And there's no need for concern. And because again, I feel like this has come up a lot. I feel like the past couple of nights, I've found an entry point where I said this, you know, multiple times, that figure out if it's your issue about not being able to trust and work on that, or address the fact that you keep dating people that aren't worthy of it. I don't know. Thanks to all those that participated. Coming up next, we'll be sliding back into those DMs. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. Time for some DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore with confidence. Here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris, what is your opinion on people having a drink or two to help social lubrication? Well, with alcohol-related deaths more than doubling, you know, again, I think assessing our relationship to alcohol for those that continue to drink is an ongoing thing, and I think we should be doing it every time we drink. How am I feeling? Why am I wanting to drink? Is today a day to maybe pass on that? What kind of mood am I in? Am I needing to drink to be in an event that actually is not fun or boring, I don't want to be at, and I should just pass or go home, as opposed to drinking more to stick around? You know, social lubrication, I think it really depends on the context, right? Because this will come up even with sexuality. Is it to make you relax with someone you shouldn't feel safe with? Is it to make you have more fun, but it really is about you learning how to engage in your full, authentic sexuality while sober? I don't know. You know, based on me working in the field of mental health, it's a really rough answer, because on one hand, there's nothing wrong with wanting to drink or to have a transcendent experience, or to be high, or to find pleasure via something outside of yourself. Like, all those things are not bad. And it's not, you know, and it's, again, it is okay to need something to help you with self-soothing or coping. It's okay to have a rough day and say, I just want to eat ice cream. I don't want to think. I don't want to feel. That's okay. We don't always have to feel. It's okay to take a break. We go to the movies for 2 hours and we don't have to think or feel. We go for jogs or whatever it is. So there's nothing wrong with drugs or alcohol in moderation, used for the right reasons in a healthy way. But when someone just says, like, social lubrication, I don't know, man. Sometimes you're hanging out the wrong people in the wrong places, and it's a bigger issue around that. And you should be passing, setting boundaries, hanging out or dating different people. I don't know. It's really kind of something I have more questions about. But again, I think the larger issue is just pay attention to the environment you're in. And sometimes it's more about that and less about you. But in general, as an overarching answer, no, there is nothing wrong with having a drink or two for social lubrication. We have rough jobs, events happen in our lives, we're hyper-stressed, and sometimes we need something outside of ourselves to help emotionally regulate that, as per our last DM question. So, I don't know. We'll talk more about it, though. I think that this could be an actual good segment. We'll talk to Dr. Adi about this next week. All right. Slide in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms. It's a big old sex world. We want you to explore with confidence. That's our show. We'll be back on Monday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern. Our show podcasted at wearechannelq.com. So go check it out. Y'all have an awesome night. Thanks for hanging out with me.